Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello again, and welcome to this Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. This programme is all about the Queen, who is celebrating her Diamond Jubilee. Queen Elizabeth is now the second longest reigning monarch in British history, second only to Queen Victoria, who reigned for 64 years, from 1837 to 1901. On the 6th of February 2012, it was the 60th anniversary of Queen Elizabeth's reign, starting as soon as her father, George VI, died in 1952. Elizabeth, at the age of 25, was in the Treetops Hotel in Kenya with Prince Philip. She went up the ladder a princess, she came down it as queen. Now, 60 years later, in 2012, aged 85, the Queen shows no intention of abdicating, retiring, or even slowing down. Whatever your views on monarchy, we can all admire her remarkable long service. Even Alex Salmond and the SNP would want to keep her as Scotland's Queen if we gained independence. Queen Elizabeth is an amazing human being, as you may have seen in Andrew Marr's documentary series about her. The Queen's personal character as Elizabeth herself is fascinating, I find. So in this programme, we're going to try and get past the Queen in her official, her fronting facade appearance, her imagery, and try and get to the heart of what makes Elizabeth herself tick. Psychologists tell us that the three main motivators of anybody are money, power, and status. Well, let's look at these things in more detail. Let's take money. Let's begin then with ABBA.
I have a
I think it's safe to say that the Queen is not short of a bob or two. Prince Philip is reputed to have said many years ago, "Yes, I do the football pools, but if I win, it won't change my lifestyle." Bill Gates of Microsoft fame gives away millions and millions of dollars to charity. But we never hear a single word about whether the Queen gives to charity. She is a Christian lady. She's head of the Church of England and a faithful attender and worshipper. She attends the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland more than any other monarch has. Her faith underpins everything she does and explains who she is. So I'm sure she must be giving, but she gives secretly, as Jesus said to do in the Sermon on the Mount. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to be honoured by people. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. We cannot but help notice that the Queen and her family give a lot of time and talents to charities. They're all patrons of many good causes. If you think about it, each of us is our own little king or queen. We have money, time and talents. We are king and queen of these. We can use them for good or ill, for God, for others, for self. It's not the amount which counts, it's the attitude. You get rich people easily writing big checks but still not being very generous. And you get widow's mites, as Jesus pointed out. Poor people giving very little, but it's almost all that they've got. It's a big proportion of what they do have. God judges the attitude more than the amount. But isn't it great when rich people also give generously? You get the best of all worlds. The Queen gives generously of herself, working hard at 85. The Queen is very conscious of her rich heritage, and she hopes to pass it on and enrich her subjects. Do we give God and others generous helpings of ourselves? Do we appreciate our rich heritage? Do we intend to be a drain on it or to pass it on enriched? Will the world be richer or poorer for us having been here? Our generation is rapidly using up the world's oil, gas, and minerals. Our generation is stacking up debts on our children and our grandchildren. The rich countries, including us, are using so much of the world's resources. We would need six planet Earths if everyone did the same as us. When Jesus met the rich young ruler, he noticed that his possessions possessed him and his wealth impoverished him. So he said to him, "If you want to live, you'll have to die to all that stuff." So do our possessions possess us, or do we control them? Do we see our wealth and resources, our time and talents and our lives as instruments in God's service? I think it's fair to say that the Queen does not see Britain as my country, in the same way as Assad sees Syria as his country, or Gaddafi saw Libya or Mubarak Egypt. I think it's fair to say that the Queen sees her wealth as not being her wealth, but for the enrichment of others, as from God and for God, to be used responsibly. Do we see our time, talents and money and lives as gifts from God and for God's service? So let's think about power. Here's ABBA again, Head Over Heels.
I have a vision.
It's obvious that the Queen is also very powerful, but again, maybe not in the ways that we might expect. She's not a queen like Cleopatra, or Elizabeth I, or Victoria, or the world's dictators today. She's a constitutional monarch, a figurehead. She keeps out of power politics. She has no official power. She has no vote, no voice. She's the only person who can't take a case to the Crown Court. It's her court, after all. She can't sue the newspapers for libel. She has no freedom to just nip out to buy a fish supper, or to browse in Tesco's, or to go anywhere she wants on holiday. She can't walk her corgis up the street in peace. She can't wear curlers in public. She has a relentlessly busy schedule after 60 years in the job, at 85 years old. She has few, if any, sickies. Politicians campaign for a few months every 5 years or so, but she meets the public day after day for 60 years. She's naturally quiet and shy and inward, not like Bill Clinton, who said that when he was a bit stressed or depressed, he would go outside the White House and recharge his batteries by mingling with the crowds. She has no need to win votes. She's not up for election. She's not paid per mingle. She doesn't need the job. But she does have power. She has all the powerful politicians wanting to meet her. Obama wants to meet her. Putin wants to meet her. The Chinese Premier. Every British Prime Minister since Winston Churchill has met her weekly. And they all rave about her. She is their confidant, their psychologist, their granny. Harold Wilson looked forward to the only meeting he had with absolute confidentiality, he said. The 85-year-old lady still has kids waving flags excitedly. And she's not a here today, gone tomorrow celeb. Americans who are Republicans adore her. Former colonies like to keep her. The Commonwealth has long outlived expectations of its demise, and she's proud to be the head of the Commonwealth. She has the power of personality. Not personality through the media. She never courts the media, never does magazine interviews and things like that. But she has the power of personality on a one-to-one basis. Everybody who talks to her comes away charmed. And she advises and has wisdom and experience and knowledge which people appreciate. She works hard. She's well briefed. She knows people's names and details, whoever she meets. You see, each of us has power. Some of us more official, some of us more unofficial. You can say, I have power over you, son, because I'm your father. Or you can have power over the son because he actually wants to come and ask your advice. Real power is not conferred by the title on the office door, or by graduation or by appointment. Real power is by being a substantial person with something to say and something to give which is appreciated. Quality counts. John the Baptist in the Bible had no official power, and yet crowds flocked to hear him. Today's YouTubes that go viral, they can't make you watch them. But they seem to have a power in themselves to attract you. Jesus of Nazareth had no obvious power. A homeless, itinerant preacher, a joiner. From Nazareth, of all places, he was poor and powerless. And yet, so obviously powerful. Crowds flocked to him, listened to his every word. He could command the wind and waves. He could command the paralyzed to walk, the dead to rise. He taught with authority. He caused people to worship him. We each have power, not in ourselves, not officially, but we have strength and power in Christ as his instruments and ambassadors, the Holy Spirit working in and through us. So even when the Queen doesn't lord it over others, but rather lets the power of God's love flow through her to others, then she has power. Here's Abba to think about the third thing. We're motivated, according to psychologists, by money, power, or status, or position. Here's Abba singing about Super Trooper. A Super Trooper is a spotlight, and some people just love to be in the spotlight.
Super Trooper beams are gonna blind me, but I won't feel. somewhere in the crowd there.
The Queen has small stature, but she's a big lady. How must she feel when she sees her own face on stamps and coins? How must she feel when she hears the national anthem? How must she feel when she has people bowing down to her, sucking up to her, spluttering nervously in her company? As a wee girl, she was in a noisy, crowded room, which she brought to a sudden silence by shouting out, "Royalty is speaking." But the Queen does not really court publicity. She doesn't give interviews to TV or magazines. She doesn't go around projecting her personality as celebrity, one of those fly-by-night ones. Her longevity comes from her otherness, from her distance, from her just getting on with the job. She knows she is Queen. Everybody knows she is Queen all round the world. There are lots of queens, but when you say the Queen, everybody knows it's Elizabeth. But she has no airs and graces about it. She is conscious of her status and her position, which is even more focused on humble service and duty and sacrificial service to God and to her country. Christians understand this paradox. Our service, like hers, is Christian service. She is not self-serving, like the dictators that we see on the news. She's not even people-serving. She is Christ-serving and serves the people in his name. There's a vertical dimension first, which is then expressed in horizontal relationships with other people. We serve Jesus. We serve Jesus by serving Jesus' people and Jesus' world. The British Constitution has a wise balance between elected and unelected. Some of our leaders are directly accountable to the people. They're in the House of Commons, for example, the Prime Minister. But some of our leaders are unelected, so they don't have to go around touting for public favour or votes. They're in the House of Lords, and there's the Queen herself. The Queen is not sucking up for our votes. The Queen is like the Pope, or like elders in the Church of Scotland. It's a vocation for life. Her status is not by appointment. Her status is by her substantial, self-earning respect, by faithful and humble service, by getting her head down and doing a good job. Say that we're motivated by money, power and status. Yes, obviously the Queen has money, power and status, but what makes her tick in herself as Elizabeth is not really these things. What makes her tick is Christian service, humble, hard-working, faithful, obedient service of God expressed in doing her job with regard to other people. She loves God and she loves people, and she expresses that in her daily Christian service. So there's a challenge in there to all of us. So I leave you now with this last piece of music. David was a mighty king. Let's see if we can all be mighty kings in the same sense, by serving God.
David was a mighty king. He beat Goliath with a sling. David was a mighty king. He beat Goliath with a sling. But Jesus, Jesus, he's the best king of all. He's the way, he's the one, he's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of lords. David's son was Solomon. He built a home to call God's own. David's son was Solomon. He built a home to call God's own. But Jesus, Jesus, he's the best king of all. He's the way, he's the one, he's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of lords. Israel's kings rejected God. They failed to follow him as Lord. Israel's kings rejected God. They failed to follow him as Lord. But Jesus, Jesus, he's the best king of all.